You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 just for a moment. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for your word, for your work, your saving grace. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for creating us. Thank you for saving us. So, God, help us in the light of tomorrow and the days and hours that lie ahead. God, help us. In Christ's name, amen. We attempted this morning to remind you in John chapter 16 and verse 7 that the Spirit of God's wonderful, wonderful purpose in sending his Son is to provide his wonderful saving grace. And the Spirit of God's wonderful, wonderful ministry after the Lord's resurrection is to make possible all of the benefits and all of the blessings of what he came and did on Calvary's cross, to make possible, to make the impossible possible. Now, having said that, and he's going to do it by the word, the Spirit of God, who is the Comforter. And the Spirit of God, we share together that God is a person is the Comforter. And the person of God is awesome. And we try to remind ourselves about God, God who is unique. He is one, he is three, and yet he's one in nature, essence, and being. And therefore, he is not three different gods. I received the Lord God, my Savior. I pray to the Father out there and hope the Spirit of God somewhere will do something to help me. And that isn't true. That isn't true. He's not three forms of God. God can express himself this way. Father, he can express himself as a Son. He can express himself as the Spirit of God. That's not what he's doing. Not what he's doing. And the average believer, assured, has to stay with a believer. The unsaved will never get this. That he is unique. And therefore, he is one of a kind. So when God, the Spirit of God, comforts you, the person of God, we already looked at it all a little bit this morning. The Father is the Comforter. The Son is the Comforter. The Spirit of God is the Comforter. When God comforts you, it's in his immense, awesome person. And that is the comfort. So when we read and reminded ourselves briefly, quickly, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and, now we paid attention, God, not the Father, not the Spirit of God, not the Son of God. It's God in his totality, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, of all comfort. So the comfort, encouragement, the coming alongside to give me an aid, to be an ally, to meet the need, Comforter, is God. So all the comfort is going to come from where? God. I need to understand that so that when I look to God, here we are in chapter 1, verse 4. Who, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, etc., 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 that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So what is God doing? He's showing his magnificent triunity, his oneness. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. God who? God has many shapes and forms to all people, for many reasons we'll try to look in a minute. So God, here we are looking for you to be the comforter in your fullness so that we can enjoy you, our Creator, our Savior, our Lord, period. And that covers all the bases so that we can move forward. And we didn't get anything done here. God, help me with my pills, help me with my pain, help me with... No, we didn't get that. That's the overflow. The outworking of things, all things work together for good, is the overflow of God's working. All things work together for good because God is doing it. And as I look to God, trusting God, then God is working all these things out. Now, having said that, we'll try again to help. Over to Genesis. And Genesis chapter 3. Oh, and I forgot to say, Alan knew I'd forget to say it, so he wrote it down for me. He knew I'd forget to say it. He said, you won't say it. I said, I will say it. I'll remember it the minute I get up there. I'm such a failure. Anyway, teachers, for the teachers meeting, teachers, we're trying to help the teachers. We're trying to have a good, healthy understanding of what we're trying to do and why we're trying to do it and what we're up against and doing the best we can on Thursday. So if there are helpers and others that are concerned to understand, you're welcome to come to that. There's nothing secret about it. Now, having said that, Genesis chapter 3. And Adam and Eve are given a wonderful relationship to God. Adam and Eve sinned and have taken of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the result, chapter 3, verse 5, what did the devil say? For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that the day you eat thereof, then your eyes will be opened, and you shall be as gods, Elohim, God. That's in its plural. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. You're going to be as God, because there are no gods yet. No gods yet. You will be as gods, knowing good and evil. So, they went and took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they did so. And when they did so, they lost that relationship to God, and they had to go, and God gave them the wonderful promise that he had already planned, the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And he gave them the wonderful promise, Genesis 3:15. They believed the promise that God would provide a wonderful Savior to save them. Not like in chapter 3, verse 7, fig leaves and to hide behind trees and to hide under rocks. Nope. And therefore, they would believe, Adam and Eve believed. And verse 21, Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin. God provided covering, the covering of a sacrifice. And he clothed them in his most wonderful, wonderful way. Therefore, these knowers, the knowers, the people that are, you're going to know good and evil. So in the process of knowing good and evil, what happened? Well, we were wonderfully, wonderfully in the Garden of Eden, enjoying God in purity, in simplicity, in fullness. But we aren't anymore. So we're going to know what it is to be without God, without good, without light, without right. And therefore, we need a Savior. That's why they received the coats of skin. So now, having said that, and remember, without taking time to turn there, if you hold your finger right where it is and take a big hunk of the Bible over to Isaiah 14. And in Isaiah 14, just to quickly remind you, in chapter 14, what did Lucifer, son of the morning, the wonderful angel who was in charge, general, he was the top one, as all of those things we did, of angels, and he coveted what? All the angels looked to him, he was their general, he was their top man, as it were. He was centered right next to God up there. His position, angel of light. Now, but he went and he coveted, that was his problem. And remember now, what did he want? Verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. I will not be able to be God. I can never be God, but I would like to be like God in position, power, worship, etc., etc. Now, the devil himself, back over to Genesis 3, he's the one that got us humans into trouble. Because, by Adam and Eve, that you can be like God. I want to be like God. It didn't work, I lost my job. You can be like God, and you'll lose. Follow me, he said, and you'll lose your position. I had a wonderful position. You, Genesis 1, 26, 27, 28, you have a wonderful position as Lord of all the dinosaurs and rhinoceroses and porcupines. You're the Lord of the earth. And they lost their job because he got them to sin. Now, he got them to disbelieve. So they became what? Well, so now, having said that, so the evil, darkness, the pride, and here we have, if we can, in chapter 4, verse 1, I'm interested in the first person after Adam and Eve who sets the pace. Adam and Eve should set the pace. Adam does in Romans 5:12. In Adam, we all die. So he does that. But Cain sets the pace in another way. And thus, Cain, I'm interested, in chapter 4, verse 1, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord, thinking that he could be the seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15. Of course, it was the opposite. And now, so therefore, here's Cain, and Cain goes and does what he does in the way that he does it, and he is born. Now, as he looks, he's going to look at his mother and father. They're both covered with a coat of skin. They're both, I'm being Cain, little boy. I'm looking at them. They both got a coat of skin. And they told me, we used to be on the other side in the garden, but we can't get in the garden anymore because the angels, the fire blocks it. Angels aren't going to let anyone in through the gate. And so what? Cain looks, and there's his parents, his coat of skin, and Cain's looking, but he can't get in the garden. Can't get in the garden. And the ground is cursed, chapter 3, verse 17. The ground is cursed, at the end of the verse, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. And in verse 18, thorns and thistles and shall it bring forth. Bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field and the sweat of thy face. Thou shalt eat bread till thou return to the ground, for out of it was thou taken, and dust thou shalt, you're just dust, and unto dust thou shalt return. Now such things aren't very encouraging. I'm the first son, I'm growing up, I'm looking, I'm not too happy with any of this. No, sir. And therefore, as we proceed down the road, God's going to go, and here's they are. And in the process, they're going to have it's time for sacrifice. to practice their believing God by looking for God's wonderful thing that he's going to do in the future, die on the cross. Therefore, Abel went, remember chapter 4 and verse 3 and 4, etc. And Abel went and offered his of the sacrifice. He sacrificed an animal. They weren't eating animals, but they sacrificed animals. That's what they did. And in the process, what did they do? Well, and then Cain, that's Abel's his younger brother. And so Cain, what are you going to do? Well, God knows what to dump up, but I look at my parents, and I look at the garden gate blocked. I look at my brother, what he did. And God, who are you to, we're somebody. You're somebody, God. No one questions God. But God, you're somebody, but you made us in your image and likeness so that we have pride, because we're in humans. We are on a canary or something, and we're humans. So our pride causes us, we're somebody, aren't you? Doesn't everyone want to be somebody? We don't want to be nobody. We're somebody. Our rights, etc., etc. And thus, we challenge God. God, you're somebody, but we're somebody. Are you seeing it from the Garden of Eden? No, we're seeing it outside the Garden of Eden. We're seeing it separated from you by sin and the consequences of sin, darkness instead of light, wrong instead of right, evil instead of good. So we see it, but we don't see it like we're supposed to see it. So therefore, God, you go, and all Genesis 6, you don't have to turn there. Genesis 6, what did they do? Well, they did everything. You can turn there, you're only a page or two away. Genesis 6, verse 5. And God, in his wonderful nature, essence being, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. So what do? They followed suit, Cain. They didn't follow Abel. They followed Cain. Now, Cain, what did you do? Well, we jumped, but remember what, you don't have to go back there. Genesis chapter 4, verse 17. Cain was supposed to run all, could never, go back there. Genesis 4. And would you notice, Cain, I meant to tell you a very significant thing. Cain killed Abel, which you know. He killed him. Would he kill a sacrifice to honor God? No. But he'd kill his brother who did honor God. And thus, chapter 4 and in verse 10, and he said, what hast thou done? God said, the voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Verse 11, that now thou art cursed from the ground. Now the ground is already cursed. But the ground turns around and curses him because the blood of his brother is in that ground. And God turns around and judges him. So can I be a farmer? No. No, you can't. Can I find any place of refuge? No. Verse 12. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and vagabond shall thou be in the earth. And you're going to have to wander. You're going to have no place that you can raise a garden and 6 months from now reap it. You're not going to find a home, but you're going to wander all over the earth, as it were, no home. Therefore, what did Cain do? He rejected that judgment, went against it, because he's already gone against God once, twice. Now again, verse 17, Cain knew his wife and conceived and bare Enoch, and he builded a participle. He continues to build a city. In other words, we've said this 1,000,000,000 times. A city has never been built that answers the needs of humans. And that's the purpose of cities. to bring everyone together so we can just keep reading the context. People can sow and people can do make things, and we'll just pool everything together. That's what we're going to do. And in the process of doing that, of course, that we don't need God. We don't need God. We got government. Who needs God? We got government. They protect. Well, they don't used to protect us. All those things. Wow. We got government. Cain rejected that, and he built the city. Genesis 6, God judged. Did anyone get clear on what was God judged all? Flooded the earth and Noah's sons, etc. Genesis 11, they built. What did the people do that after the flood? They all were in one place. And what did they do? They built a city, because that's what they knew. They had left a city when the flood came. They all died in the city. And so the people that are left know that's what we did, a city. So we have a city and a tower to reach up into the heavens. And God said, I'm the creator of the heavens. We're going to worship the creator. We, the creation, us humans, are going to be the creating. We're going to worship the creation. All of us are created by God. But we're going to leave God out of the picture. That's idolatry. Hang on. So we're going to leave God out. Now, God, we're losing what? Our opportunity as it goes, it develops, to know you. And we're going to get into idolatry. And idolatry is what? The making of many gods. Hang on. In the process. Over, if you would, please. Ezekiel chapter 14. Just to remind you, very important to remember it. Ezekiel chapter 14 says it simply for us. In Ezekiel chapter 14, you'll pick up, please, verse 3. I'm just going to get, the context is wonderful, just to get it. 14, Ezekiel 3. Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. In other words, they think and create idols, religion, the idols in this case. And they create it. Worship the sun, worship the stars, worship something. That's, where does it come from? From the heart. The heart creates it. Put the stumbling block of the iniquity before their face so they can look at their totem pole and the face. And should I inquire of it at all by them? In other words, am I going to go by their idolatry? Down to verse 4. Therefore, speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols. Where? In his heart. It's what you think. It's how you think. Philosophy, everything you want. We create in our mind. God created us. We're somebody. And we create. Religion, idols, philosophy, communism, socialism. We create it. We're the creators of it. Mormonism. All of them. Seventh-day, whatever you want. We're the creators of this religion, all the different Protestant denominations. Therefore, setteth up in the heart, verse 4, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his own face. He honors his thinking and cometh to the prophet. I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. He's going to go. But you've got a whole lots of thought. So make your idols work. Make the system work. Verse 7. For every one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger, that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me, and setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth up the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to a prophet, or inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. God said, I'll take care of that myself. So his idols, where do they come from? Humans. Where did any thing come from? Humans. It didn't happen. There's no pantheism or something out there. Where did that come from? That's us thinking. And then we create things and make them. Make them. Buddhas, big Buddhas. We do it all. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, and God has told Israel, Exodus 20, thou shalt have no other gods before me. None whatsoever. Nothing that you can see, touch, taste, smell. All of it is my creation. And I want you to honor me, said God, the creator, not the creation. Not yourself. You are created by me in my image and likeness to know me. I want you to honor the one who created you, the one who saves you, the one who is Lord of lords and King of kings. That's what I want. Now, to know me, that's what we read that this morning. What is Israel supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? What are people supposed to do? To know a wonderful God in a most wonderful way. And therefore, as we travel through, and you remember, without turning there, and I, in Isaiah 5:20, remember, evil is good, and good is evil, and dark is dark, and darkness is light, and light is darkness. You're going to turn everything upside down so we can live on planet Earth. And when you come to the end of the Bible, Malachi 2:17, what are the people saying? Where is the God of judgment? 2:17. God doesn't do anything. We keep doing what we do. We can get away with what we do. It's never corrected. It's never challenged. And more it happens all over the place. So nothing, nothing. Wow. God doesn't do anything. So we keep doing it. Therefore, hang on. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, over to Romans and chapter 1. Romans in chapter 1. And remember, please, in Romans chapter 1, just to remind you, but note its significance to help you understand what we're looking at. Comfort, the God in his wonderful fullness. Not God out there going to comfort, bring you comfort, or God over there is going to bring you comfort. It's God in here that brings you comfort. It's his piece of property. Now, hang on. Romans 1, and going directly to verse 20. Well, I'm going to read verse 19. It's impossible to do this. Because that which may be known of God, not the Father, not the Son, not the Holy Ghost, God. That which may be known of God is manifest, made clear, public, plain. Where is it made known? In them. In them. So, we share these again 1,000 times. No one's born on the face of the earth that God didn't remind him he's their creator. And the little kid, the little boy or girl growing up, is going to have to decide what they have their gut feeling. A kangaroo isn't God, and the totem pole isn't God. They know that. And then we talk about our gods, and they know they aren't any gods. So am I going to go with the system, or am I going to keep believing? Now, so therefore, verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. How so? Being understood by the things that are made. Birds, bugs, bees, flowers. Being understood by the things that are made, that are made. And his eternal power, deity, obviously, creation, thousands and trillions of galaxies, etc. And a Godhead, his deity, so that they are without excuse. Reason, because, verse 21, that when they, knew God. It wasn't when they didn't know. People say, well, people don't know. Whoops. They do know. When they knew God, they would not, glorify him as God. So we're back to the idols, gods, little g, idols. And our God, as we think of God, are we thinking of God in his unique triunity, his unique three in one and one in three, his awesome nature, essence, being that has three distinct personalities? Awesome. No, we don't think of him like that. No, we don't. We think of God and what God means over here and God means over here. Who knows what God means to people? God's going to help me. Where is God? God? I don't know. So therefore, that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, and they were thankful, verse 21, but became vain in their imaginations, thought process, and their foolish heart was darkened. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. So they lost out in a most awesome, awesome way. So therefore, here we are looking for God to help us. And the Israel, Isaiah 43 again, 10, 11, he wanted Israel was to know God and understand God in a most wonderful way. So therefore, I want to understand. God, do you want me to understand God as us humans do? No. I want you to understand God as I help you to understand. You have to come through my Son. The Spirit of God will help what you, when you get saved, you receive my Son. The Spirit of God will bring the benefits and everything. What's the purpose of receiving the Son? Because he brings to you God. He, if you've seen me, he said, you've seen the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father but by me. So as I receive the Lord Jesus as my Savior, God, what's his purpose? To make God known. Why did I receive Christ who went to the cross? I could never get to this unless he went to the cross. So therefore, over to John chapter 1. And in John chapter 1, you'll recall, remember Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, like we did this morning, in the beginning, what? God created. Okay, God. So what's the purpose of the Gospel of John? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John? Four windows to look at God. And God, how am I going to see him? A king? No. As a servant? No. As a perfect human? No. I'm going to see you, John, Gospel of John, as God. 21 chapters for what? Help you understand God. How? In the person of Christ. So, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made of him, and without him was not anything made. Verse 14, the Word became flesh. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem, etc., going for the cross. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Lord Jesus Christ is going to what? Make it possible for us to know God. That's the purpose of the Gospel of John, among other things, to know God in his most wonderful way. So therefore, back over to chapter 1, verse 10. How did the world receive God? John's writing before 100 AD. Last living apostle, John, verse 9. This was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. We just read that in Romans. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world system did what? They didn't know him. They didn't want to know him. They didn't want to know him. They don't care. Pontius Pilate said, no one knows what truth is. So, the world doesn't want to know. Well, God got that part. So are the Jews going to help me understand? Deuteronomy 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. They aren't going to help me. They aren't going to help me understand God. Is the world system going to help me understand God? No. Verse 11, for the Jews, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. They rejected him. They just plain old rejected him. Therefore, in the light of that, go with me please over, they rejected him. Why did they reject him? Chapter 10 of John. And in chapter 10 of John, what was the problem? We've shared all this as we did a study in John. But going directly to verse 33 in the light of the context, the Jews answered him saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou," underline in your mind, "being a man," you're just a man. No man can be God. Well, God is so different, but you didn't believe he was different. You don't understand he's different. You don't know how and why he's different. You don't know. No, we don't. But so there's no way, the end of verse 33, "thou being a man, makest thyself God." So there's no way on earth you can't. There's no one walking around going to tell us they're God. Well, that's impossible. That's from a Jew. Let alone Gentiles, do what they do. Now, having said that little bit, over to 2 Thessalonians and chapter 4. What the Jews lead the way in their unbelief, for the world to continue in unbelief. And in 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 3. Second Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 3. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, that the man of sin, be revealed, the son of perdition." Perdition means ruin, waste, termination, all gone. Judas, when he went out and left the upper room, he's the son of perdition. He's gone and to ruin. The Antichrist, the beast we're looking at, is going to perdition, to utter loss, utter ruin. There's nothing worse. Therefore, it's verse 4. "This son of man," the son of perdition, "who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called not Father, not Son, not Holy Spirit." Everything that is called God. Because God, you are something else. And us humans have it, Father, Son, a little bit. It isn't like that at all. And the real reality of it is quite different. And we just don't understand. Therefore, the Antichrist is going to do what? He's going to become, as it were, all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God, remember Isaiah 14, he as God showeth himself that he, what? He is God. Yeah. The whole world's duped, wants to be duped about God. We got God. No, God. Who is God? God. God is unique. Not like gods. Those are all nothing. Made from humans. Human thinking. Wow. So therefore, looking at that and keeping that in mind in God's wonderful, wonderful way, go with me, please, over to Isaiah 40. In Isaiah chapter 40, and if you can, just to see it, all kinds of ways to see it, it's a wonderful thing. God says it every now and then. Isaiah chapter 40, in verse 18. I'll read verse 17. "All nations before him are as nothing. They are counted unto him as less than nothing in vanity." So what do you think of Russia, God? It's nothing. What do you think of China? It's vanity. Foolishness. Oh, power, 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 power. A historian once, he gave five sentences to explain history, human history, and one of which was like this. The gods, this is from a secular historian, gods create humans rise them to power, and then clobber them. And that's history. You think about it. All the powers rise up. Kings, Hitler, Hirohito, all of them line up, and down they go, one after another. The gods raise them up and knock them down. Wow. So here we are. Here we are in Isaiah 40. God said, all nations are as nothing. Verse 18, to whom then will you liken me? Or what likeness will you compare unto me? Well, we got all the gods in our religion. No, I want to know, do you understand who I am? I am wonderfully, wonderfully three and yet one. And I'm only going to express myself in your life as the Father, so that you don't, and no one else starts walking around talking about there's three different gods. Father, Son, they aren't. The Spirit of God, you'll never hear his. Honor him? No. And the Son yields to the Father. And we know the Son in order to what? What is Spirit of God going to help us to? Father, Abba Father. So why? So there's only the Father, God, who is made, who made it possible for us to know him, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, to know him. Otherwise, we got in our little minds three gods. There aren't three gods. There's only one God. And he didn't confuse everybody by doing it in his saving grace. He went to the cross, and the only one you're going to get, I am, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, what? By me. I'm the only one. So there's no other way? Nope. No other person? He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God life. There is no other way. Nope, period. You can talk and read thousands of books and go and travel, and people do, and do all the stuff you want. When you're all done, God is God. And you either know him or you don't. How am I going to know him? Through the Son. Now, having said that, Isaiah chapter 40, sliding over if I can to verse 25. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. That would have helped them a great deal a long time ago because they considered the earth was flat. You remember the maps? Flat earth, like this. And if you go past the rock of Gibraltar, man, dragons, monsters, and you'll fall off the edge. Remember? But they just didn't pay attention. Most people don't pay attention. Verse 25. He it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grass, hoppers, that stretcheth out the heaven, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them as a tent to dwell in, sliding down. Verse 25. To whom? That was verse 22. Verse 25. To whom then will you liken me? Or who shall I be equal, saith the Lord? There is no one. There is no one. So God, either am I going to understand you, and that's what you want. The comforter. What kind of comfort? Well, God. Somehow God, whoever he is, Jesus, I received him as my Savior. God somehow is going to help me. You bet he is. But you need to understand more and more and better how it is he helps you. He's God. He's awesomely unique. His nature is being is three in one. So we don't have one God. We have one God who is going to come threefold to help us in every way. The Father, the Son, and God the Holy Spirit to help us. That's what we have. How much more help do you want? Who else do you want to help you? Huh? That's why God said, don't get tied up in stuff. And I know it's a terrible day in which we live, and fear and frustration, and it continues. Therefore, going if I can, please. John chapter 17. And in John chapter 17, picking up directly, if I can, eternal life. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives you eternal life. Got that? And God, we'll get there if the Lord tarries in somewhere. But verse 17, chapter 17, verse 3. And this, chapter 17, verse 3. This is life eternal. What is it? That purpose, they might know thee, the only God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. God sent his Son so that we could know him in his wonderful person. Now, God, you did that. I did. Now watch. Hang on. Over to Galatians. God, it's to know him in his awesome way. So when you receive the Lord as your Savior, John 1:12 in that, and when you receive the Lord as your Savior, I'm picking up, please, in Galatians. And you recall Paul in chapter 1, verse 16, Paul got saved to reveal his Son in me. That's how Paul received the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior, as you and I need to. Okay. And the result was the believing community back then had an understanding. So when they receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, what do you know? Verse 24. Paul said, they knew I was different. They glorified me because I was so changed heart and everything, and I did everything right. Remember that? Verse 24. He didn't say that, did he? What was different? Verse 24. And they glorified God in me. God. Not the Father, not the Son, not the Spirit of God. God. So when I received the Lord as my Savior, I had to receive, because you can't separate God. So God, when he comes in his marvelous way, when I receive the Lord as my Savior, I receive God. Do I need to know who that is? You bet your boots I do. Otherwise, I'm going to live with a knowledge of God that everyone else has, more or less, and I'm going to think about God somewhere, maybe Jesus in my heart, God somewhere else, Father, wherever you are, I got to fix that. Because it's comfort. I'm not going to get much comfort. Therefore, God, go over, if you would, to 1 Corinthians and chapter 1. And you will notice, please, to the Corinthians, verse 29, 1 and 29, chapter 1, verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. No flesh, but God is glorious, that's right. Therefore, verse 30, but of him, O God, are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And if you want to talk about God, your wonderful being as a human being, saved believer, trusting God, what are you going to say? Verse 11, 31. That according as is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You want to glory about anything? God, the God of all comfort? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy, God. Paul, what did the believers say back then? Of a truth, God was in him. That's what they said. They were looking for, did you receive Jesus? They wanted to know, did you receive him? Then you received God. And it's magnificence. They were awakened. Think of, anyway, without adding any more to that. Now, having said that, over, if you would, please, to chapter 6. And what know you not, verse 19, 6 and 19, what know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, your housing God, God is your resident and president, my heart, Christ home, remember the little booklet we have, my heart, Christ home, What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in, I-N, you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Would you please note, if you ever were paying attention, look at sometime, it's always God as I keep reading. God, 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 God. Why? Because God is God. Let's keep reading about God. Hang on. Now, so God, you own this body? Uh-huh, I do. Since I own the body and the Spirit of God, that's his ministry to exercise that ownership. Over, if you would please, to chapter 14. And in chapter 14, picking up, please, sliding, if I can, to verse 23, which you are familiar with. 14:23. If therefore in the assembly meeting in Corinth, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and they all speak with tongues, languages, and this so all could understand, and there come in those that are unlearned, unbelieved, or unbelievers, will they not say, you are mad, you're crazy hearing all this? But if all prophesy and say clearly, simply, wonderfully, amening God's word, believing God's word, as they hear, they honor it. But if all prophesy and there one there and come in one that believeth not or is unlearned, he is convinced of all and he's judged of all. So the believers are being believers. They're believing. Verse 25. And thus the secrets of the heart are made manifest, clear, public, plain, so that falling down, this unsaved man, people that came into church, falling down on his face, he will worship God, and report, present tense, he will announce, he's going to walk up and down, tell his family and wife or whatever it is, report, announce that God, G-O-D, is where? In that bunch of believers in Corinth. In them. What did the person note? God was in you. God was in you. That's what God's doing. That's what the church is supposed to be. When you come, you come into the presence of where God's people are assembled together. Therefore, report that God is in you of a truth. Now, having said that, over to chapter 15. And in chapter 15, when God, the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord of lords and King of kings, at the end of the tribulation, end of the judgment seat of Christ and all of that, when everything is put in order, new heavens, new earth, he's going to turn around, God the Son, in the perfect humanity of Jesus Christ, he's going to turn around, and you'll note verse 27. But he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are under him, it is manifest, clear, public, plain, that he, the Father, God, is accepted. God isn't under God. God is God, which did put all things under him. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when all things shall be subdued unto him of God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the Lord of lords and King of kings, then shall the Son also himself be subject. And God the Son turns around and gives the whole thing that he has died for, fixed, judgment seat, eternal, the great white throne judgment, new heavens, new earth, everything's in order. And he turns around to the Father, as it were, verse 28, and put all things unto him, that God may be all in all. Who? God, in his wonderful magnificence, not in our concept of God and not in our dumb religious systems. No, we are going to honor God in his awesomeness, his threeness in one, his uniqueness. And that's what you're to be honoring in your heart. that God. And that's what I wanted you to be reminded of, because most of us, not you, of course, but could be, any of us, but in the process, we have not a very good relationship, understanding of God. And we pray to God, we come up prayer time, we've got to pray to God. And God's going to do something. Here's the body, but the body belongs to whom? It's His body. So, hey, He's the comforter of what? His body? The Father, the Son, the Spirit of God? That's what they do. That's a unique thing. It's a wonderful thing. The God of all comfort. Most, I betcha, if I was betting, I'm not, but if I did, I betcha, not very many believers even understand what we just mumbled out. I'll bet that. I'll bet you it's too bad. But we're so bankrupt, we're so far down the line, we're so far away, we're at the end. Laodicea. When I come, will I see truth? Will I see light? No. Isaiah, Luke chapter 18. I won't find any. All gone, just like Israel. But we want to be a little remnant that have some understanding. And that's what we're trying to do, dear ones, to give you something. Otherwise, you keep going but sometimes we do things in our ignorance for 15 years, and we never got it straight in our head. We never got comfort straight in our head. We're looking for God to do something, to pat you on the shoulder or something. You poor dear, you see. Yeah, you poor dear. See, I don't poor dear anyone, not even my wife. I wouldn't. I want you to exercise your relationship to God. That's how you're going to get through things. That's how I have to get through things. That's how you have to get through things. And you slide, you wangle yourself down, and God has to help us. That seem reasonable? He can do what He wants. It's His body, His life, the God of all comfort. It's a wonderful thing. That's an eternal life, to know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom I've sent. Thank you. I'm going to quit. Boy, I did it. I did. I'm trying. I come close, Steve. Didn't I come close? Have some more people speak, that they shorten everything. I have to compete with them, you understand? We'll pray. Our Father and God, we thank You. Thank You, thank You, thank You. So help us. As we sing, God, wow, wow. May we exercise the truth. Thank You. In Christ's name, amen.